Well, when I heard that Pastor Schoen and Bucky were not going to be here today, I said, Lord, I would like to help him out because he was supposed to be speaking today. And I said, do I have something that you want me to share? He said, yeah, what you've been studying. I said, oh, great. Okay, so I've been talking to the Lord and studying about how do you labor to enter his rest. It's an oxymoron. You know, you labor so you can rest. Somehow, our minds don't always grasp that, and there's a process to it. So I said, Lord, where do I go? I need the answer to this. I need you to speak to me. And I went to Hebrews chapter 3, where he's talking about it, and it just, you know how when the Lord gives you something and it just gets so big, and it was like, oh my gosh, there is so much in Hebrews chapter 3, in Hebrews chapter 4 about this, that I pray that I can express it right to you so you can leave here today and be confident that you know how to labor so you can get into that place of rest. It is possible, and we need that. We're living in 2021. You know, my tongue gets stuck in my eye tooth and I can't see where I'm going. We need to be able to rest in him, because we have many opportunities not to. So let's just open up our hearts and give him permission to do what only he can do. So Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word, that we can't come up with a question that you've not already thought through and already answered and prepared for us. You are so amazing. You've always known that we would be here on this earth in Ypsilanti, Michigan at this moment. You knew the political climate. You knew what the powers of darkness are trying to do. You knew the condition the church would be in. You knew where we each would be, and yet you said, we can labor and enter into your rest. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So we open up our hearts, Lord, to teach each one of us right where we're at, as only you can do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this is just too good. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm not going to read every word because it's in 3 and 4. And there's so much in there that we're going to hit some verses. But please go home, read it. Be sure I didn't take anything out of context. You know, when somebody just takes a couple verses, you always wonder what's in those ones they didn't read, don't you? I do. So I always have to go check it out. And I'm okay. Please, check it out. He's referring to, the writer of Hebrews here is referring to the hardening of the heart of the people of Israel, how they got up to Canaan. You know, those guys, I always thought, man, I'm glad I'm not an Israelite. But you know, we're a lot like them sometimes. But their story is important. They had just gotten out of Egypt. They had been there for a number of years, and they were there as slaves. And they were at Pharaoh's beck and call to do whatever he wanted, and he wasn't nice to them. And the more they grew in numbers and the more they wanted to go talk to their God, the more work he gave them. So it was almost impossible. And they were really under a heavy burden. They started seeking the Lord. So he raised up Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to get these guys out of Egypt. Well, that's a whole other story. But he had 10 things that happened, as we call them plagues, in Egypt. And every one of those things, of those plagues, was representing a god that the Egyptians worshipped. And what he was doing was he was showing them, you've got a god? You don't know the real God. I will show you. I will show you. And so finally he says, okay, you guys get out of here. And they follow Moses. And they're all happy. Yay, we got out of Egypt. We got out of Egypt. And then they get to the Red Sea. And it's like, oh, and Pharaoh's right behind. You know how scary that would be? That would be like being in the 21st century. It's like our life stands before us and the screen is unknown. We have never been here before. What are we going to do? We want answers. And you can't look to your neighbor and say, you know, when you went through this 10 years ago, what'd you do? Nobody has been here. Our future is unknown. They got to the Red Sea and it had to look unknown. But God opened the Red Sea. So they saw another miracle. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They got fed manna from heaven. They got fed quails. They got water out of the rock. I mean, God took care of their needs. And it took them somewhere about a year to get from Egypt to where they saw you are ready to enter Canaan. You know what they all did? They panicked. Can you imagine? Really, it's a lot like us, isn't it? Yes. We're getting to the place we've never been, and it's easy to go panic, to push the panic button. So they decided they would have spies go into Canaan, check out, to look at this unknown, that they don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you can see how they live, what do they look like? What do their cities look like? What do we have to conquer? Let's go check them out. You know, that checking them out wasn't God's idea, it was theirs. You have to look at the account in Deuteronomy to see that. But God, you know, sometimes we'll come up to him with ideas. He's already given us an idea and we say, hey, you know, God, maybe we could do it like this. He'll say, okay, that's not his idea. Have you ever done that in your life and got him to say, okay, you did it and you wished, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, so they got these 12 guys to go in and look. They spent 40 days looking. These were the top guys in Israel out of each one of the tribes. And they came back. The majority said, there are giants in the land and we cannot overcome them. So what happened to the people that were watching the news that day of those 10 guys? Their knees are knocking together and they said, let's go back to Egypt. You know, Pharaoh was not so bad. But two, Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. Yes, there's giants. Yes, there's things we don't know, but because we know our God, we are well able to overcome. So the people whined and cried and thought about it, and they decided, no, we don't want to do that. We'll just pick us a new leader, and we'll go back to Egypt. And God says, you know, what's going to happen to you now is for the 40 days that they were there looking, you're going to have 40 years of wandering in the desert. You know, we get stuck because we did the wrong thing and we didn't trust God. And you know what? In those 40 years that they were there, because they had done the wrong thing and didn't trust him, he fed them. He gave them water. He gave them victory over their enemies. Their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. Even if you're right now in a place of a mess created by yourself, God's got provision for you to get you to your next point so you can trust him again. Is he not awesome? Okay. So the place where they got to Egypt, God says, and this is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. He said, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? He called Canaan a place of rest, but to those that would not obey. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. So they didn't obey. And the disobedience leads us to a place we just don't believe him anymore. We've all done it. We can all get there. When we, you know, God's given you something to do, spoken to your heart. It could be something so small. But you go, you know, I don't really want to do that. So you go along your way. And then they got, when you get along your way and it's not the way that God had for you, you're getting into unbelief. You didn't plan on that, you know. You never signed up to, I'd like to not believe anymore. But that's just how things happen. And after they got into, from disobedience into unbelief, chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, there remains a promise of entering into his rest. But let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it. Wherever you're at in your process with the Lord, and maybe it's disobedience, and maybe it's unbelief, you can still get to that place of rest in him. Everybody say, whew. Yeah. You know, it's good. He's good always. And then he goes on and explains in verse 2 that what they did wrong is they didn't mix any faith with what they heard from God. They mixed no faith with it. You know, we often hear things, the Lord saying, you know, do this, or I'm leading you here, or I want you to maybe study this, or I want you to take this class. I want you to go work here. I want you to go visit somebody. And we go, I don't think I can. See, you have to mix faith when you hear his word. You have to go, I believe you, Lord. It's a choice. Oh dear, we have choices. Yes, right from the garden, God gave man choices, and you and I are still dealing with our choices today. So, when I saw the process of disobedience leads to unbelief, leads to no rest, leads to, I don't even have faith to mix with it. Go down to verse 7 in chapter 4, and it says, today, this is a quote out of Psalms. Today, but it's still referring back to the Egypt thing. Today. Today. If you'll hear his voice, another choice. If you will, do not harden your heart. I got two things right there. I get to hear him and not harden my heart. There's a lot of responsibility to living. There's a lot of responsibility to living by faith. There's a lot of responsibility to living in his grace, in his blessings. It's not just, hey, life is good. You know, everything will be okay. God's got it. He's got a way for us to live and a way for us to relate with him. And it's to not have a hardened heart. And then, verse 9, there remains a rest for the people of God. There is always that place. There's a rest for us. If you haven't been resting in him, You can get there from here. Whew. How awesome. You haven't written yourself off, and he has not written you off. Isn't he wonderful? One thing, verse 10, he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from him, as from his works. He's giving us a clue to get to that place of rest. Stop working at it. Stop working at it. It's almost like there's a door there that says this is a place of rest, and we're just running, pow, and we miss it. Well, we'll take it from this angle, and I'll kick it down, and we miss it. No, stop. It's not our works that's going to do it, that's going to get us to that place. So how will it come? Verse 11, and this is the key. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Diligent. You know what diligence is? It's an exerted effort of study. Be diligent. How diligent are you when you want to go after a truth of God? Maybe it's healing. How diligently do you get in the Word? Or do you just want to come to church and somebody can lay hands on you and bingo? Or do you diligently go after it? If you're having relationship problems, your family, your friends, how diligently do you look in the Word for advice? How much effort do you put into that? That's what he wants us to do. Be diligent. That sounds like work. It is and it isn't. It is and it isn't. Be diligent. How do I be diligent, Lord? You know, it's for me, when I read these kinds of things like, let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, I have to read it prayerfully, which would be, Lord, am I seeking you with diligence? You know, sometimes we think we are, and we're not. And sometimes we think we're not, and we are. The only way I know how to get this word to be personal is talk to him about it as I'm reading it. Lord, am I diligent? And the answer he gave me a couple months ago was, somewhat. And I thought, ooh. See, there's room for improvement. Does anybody else need room for improvement? He gives it to us. He gives it to us. He's saying, you got a choice. You can be diligent and go after this place of rest. And then once you get there, it's like, or you can go through the process of disobedience, unbelief, no rest, no faith, not going to hear him, going to harden my heart. That's not a good place to be. And we don't have to be there. You know, those poor Israelites had to go wandering around, even though the Lord provided for another 40 years, because they chose to not mix faith with what they had heard. Do you mix faith with it? You know, one thing they could have done, they could have sat down and made a list of all the things that they remember that God had done for them from even the 10 plagues up until there. Do you have a list like that? It would really be helpful, because it's your testimony. When we get to this place where the screen is unknown and my future is unknown and I don't know what's going to happen, and because I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know how to prepare, look back in your life What kind of a mess were you in when you got saved? Yeah. Write that down. Had you done anything to deserve it? No. But look what he did. Had you been studying how to hear God? No. But you know what? He got a hold of you somehow, and you knew it was him. And now you're at this place called unknown. Do you think he's lost your number? I'm sure it's on his phone. He can, oh yeah, there. He probably has Siri. Siri, would you call Tom for me? He won't lose it. He won't lose it. Be diligent. Be diligent. Make out your list. That so helps when you're coming up to the next trial, when you can look back and say, you know what? God got me out of this. God got me out of that. You know what? When I had nothing, he provided. When I did a stupid mistake, he helped me correct my path. Wow. You know what that does for the picture of the unknown? It takes the fear away. We can face this without fear if we do by diligence what he says. The next verse is the key that takes care of all those issues that we listed. It's verse 12, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. Now you got to take a minute and soak that in, because that's rich. That is rich. You know, I think saving the word of God is one of the major miracles he has done over the years. You and I, we can go to the store and buy a Bible. You probably got more than five of them on your shelf. I counted mine up this morning. I had 21. I love the word. I love all the translations. I love to study. I read the footnotes. Some of them you just miss. Some of them you keep. But do you love it? Do you love it? What a gift of grace. His word, to me, is one of his greatest graces he's given us. You know, they tried to destroy the word all over the world throughout centuries. And look, we still have it. And you and I are so blessed. We can have the paper edition. You can have it on your phone, your computer, everywhere. Maybe you don't like to read. You struggle with that. All excuses have been removed, because you can plug in some kind of device and somebody will read it for you and to you. There's no excuse. We can put an earbud in so the rest of the family who doesn't want it doesn't have to hear it. We have no excuse. But we need this, because it's living. You know, if I could have an action Bible, I would probably open it and just have little things jumping up here. It's alive. Hello. Hello. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. It is. Is it that living to you? It's alive. Oh, he's so precious. Living means to have vital power in itself. In it is the power. So if I avoid my Bible like the plague, I'm missing living power in my life. And you might be sitting there thinking, it doesn't do that for me. Tell him about it. See, that's where when you sit and read, you do it prayerfully and say, you said so, God. It's alive. I don't feel like my Bible's alive. When I read it, I don't, what's she talking about? I don't get what she's getting. But I want to. Tell him. Tell him. See, you have the door to your heart, the handle's on the inside. You open it or you close it. Choice is yours. When you open it, even and say, Lord, I don't know that it's living like that, but I'd sure like to. I tell you, he'll take you up on it. He'll take you up on it. And it's powerful. It's active. It accomplishes the given effect. So when you read peace, my peace I give you. I don't give peace to you people like the world gives peace, but my peace I give you. You read that, you meditate on that, you say, Lord, I want that to be real. I need that peace. It has within it, in those little words, the power to have peace come in your heart. Wow. Now, does it matter if the screen says unknown for your future? Not really. Not really. Now, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. One single blow is the definition of this. A decisive single blow or stroke. You need something cut out of your life? Maybe there's something ugly in your life. You don't even want to talk to anybody about it. Study what the Lord says about it and let that word take that single blow and cut it out. Fear? Let the word do it. Let the word do it. It is that powerful. It is that powerful. John 1:14, the word, the whole word became a man, flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word is God's grace to us. We are so blessed to have this. Do we treasure it like that? Now, it gets even better. It pierces, it says it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. And it gets tricky when we're talking about soul and spirit because they're kind of intertwined and yet they're separate. Soul, just to make it easy, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit, that's the place that the Holy Spirit dwells that's alive to God. And yet there's a connection. There's a connection there. How do you disconnect if your soul's got some goofy stuff in it, your mind, your will, your emotions, things maybe you need to be healed of? You know, broken heart, bad memories, bad experiences, stuff people did to you, stuff you did to people. And it's in your mind, and it affects your will. It affects your emotions. But yet you know inside you're supposed to be a man or woman of God and righteous and pure and holy. It gets all mixed up, doesn't it? The word has the power to go whoosh, between your soul and your spirit and separate those things so you can live according to the spirit that's in you. You can live according to what the word of God says, not according to old stuff. The word, the word, the word, the word. And it divides the separation that goes into the heart where the spirit and soul connect. That's the definition from the Strong's Concordance on this Greek word here. And then it gets even better. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we live out of our heart. Whatever's in your heart, and your heart, as far as I can understand from studying it for a lot of years, it's got the connection between your soul and spirit. Some teachers have said it's the heart that makes the connection. Your heart's where we live. You might be born again and want to do good, but really, really struggle. You probably have some heart issues. How do you get rid of it? Apply a sword to it. You apply the sword. You read it and you say, I believe you, Lord. If you say that this word of God can straighten things out inside of me. I believe you. I believe you. Your thoughts, when it says thoughts, it means the deliberate thoughts, the ones that you are intentionally taking. It doesn't mean those ones that, you know, they, where did that come from? And then you don't take it, just let it go. It's those ones that you are intentionally taking. And maybe you are intentionally taking some really bad ones. Maybe you're watching too much news, too much opinions, maybe too much preaching. If you're watching more preaching than you're spending in the Word, you're probably watching too much, because how are you going to discern if they're preaching right? If you're listening to the prophetic because you want to know what's going to happen, but you have totally missed the Word, how are you going to know that the prophet's right? I'm not saying don't listen to them. I'm saying you be Holy Spirit led, but you be filled up with the Word. It divides the soul from the spirit like the joints and the marrow. You know the marrow is inside of your joints. If you take the marrow out, your joints don't do well. If you got no support around the marrow, you don't do well. The word is like that. Every part of you that's doing well and not doing well, it can discern and say, you know what? You think you're helping yourself by doing such and such. Don't do that. Let the word direct you. But you've got to get in it to let it direct you. So those deliberate thoughts that you think intentionally on purpose, and the intents, the things you meditate on, the things you consider. What do you meditate on? I'm not going to call you out and ask you. But you have to answer in your heart. What do you meditate on? Do you think more on the word, or do you think more on this unknown screen that has popped up since last year and still is with us? Now, just for a second, just for fun, think about thinking about the unknown. How do you think about the unknown? It's unknown. How can you come to a wise conclusion or decision without the wisdom of God? You cannot. Well, but I did other decisions like that and it seemed to work. Well, good for you. But it's not going to always. Because he said, this is the way to do it. We don't want to be like Israel and see the promises of God that are out there for us. But we've already disobeyed and lacked faith and let our heart get hard. We've already done so many stupid things. We don't want to do that, and we don't have to. To labor to enter into his rest, your labor is taking the word of God and letting it do what only the word of God can do for you. Only the word. Verse 13. It's beautiful. You think your life maybe is beyond that, or you can't see how it's going to work. He says there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, there might be things you do in secret and you feel pretty good because nobody knows. At least the wife and kids, and at least my husband doesn't know. At least the pastor doesn't know. God knows. You got to think about that. You have no secret from him. So you might as well talk to him about those secrets that you wish were gone out of your life, and ask him to help you apply the word and take that sword and cut out what needs to be cut out. Let him put in what needs to be put in. These two chapters they were so complete as he just walked me right down the list. It starts with disobedience, which leads to unbelief, which leads to having no rest, which leads to having no faith, which leads to, I don't know if I want to hear him or not, which leads to having a hardened heart. But still, rest remains for me. If I will be diligent, if I will. Wow. The gift of grace in his word is just amazing. When he gave us his word, it just makes me want to just hug my Bible. But it's not the book. It's everything that's in the book. It's everything that's in the book. It's all those living things that are jumping out. What do you need? Some peace? Don't turn on your TV. Open your Bible. You need some joy? There's joy in here. What do you need? Answers? Oh, he's God. He knows the secrets. All your secrets. He does. And he's not telling me your secrets. But he'll talk to you about them. And he's the one you need to talk to about them. And he wants you to. Because he wants us to enter every single day, whether it's we enter things known or unknown, with a full confidence who my God is. Fully confident. Fully confident that every word that I read in there, I mix it up with faith. So it operates. If you and I don't mix the words with faith, my choice to put, I'm going to believe that, God, because you said so. I don't get it, but because you said so. Is that too simple? It really is. What would have happened back in the garden if Eve would have said to the devil, you know, I'm interested in what you're saying, but God says something different. Let me go talk to him first. Would have changed everything, wouldn't it? So you and I have that choice every day. Are we going to do what he says? Are we going to get in the word and let the word get in us? Go home and count your Bibles. Don't just count them. Crack them open. If you've got a plethora of them like I do, Lord, which one would you like me to read? If you don't have a Bible reading program, get one. You can get them on the internet. The back of your Bible probably even has one. So you can systematically go through. It's important. He didn't just save the New Testament. He didn't just save the book of Revelations for us. He saved everything, right from how he created to what it's going to be at the very end. He saved it all. I think he wants us to know it all. And I guarantee you, if you have not read through, you want to, you'll get to know his heart. And is he singing to me? I thought I heard God singing. You know, it says, is it Zephaniah that he sings over us? He sings over us. He'd be real happy right now if we would all. He wants to sing some more. He would be real happy right now if we would all commit ourselves to being more diligent. Oh, thank you, whoever did that. Would you like to be more diligent? Do you think it's worth your while? If you want to be more diligent, stand up. And let's commit that to the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to come up and lay hands on people, because it's not somebody laying hands on you. It's you making a choice to be more diligent. Well, Father, House on the Rock proves to be diligent. Lord, every person here, you are intimately involved and know every secret of every heart. And you see every person standing that is committing themselves to being more diligent in their search of the Word, getting to know you, your direction for their life. Holy Spirit, help each one from the square that they're standing on right now to move forward, and to fall in love with your Word like they have never been before, and talk to you as they're reading, and ask you questions like you're real, because you are. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this body of believers right here that we get to call family. And Lord, we don't know what's coming in our tomorrows. But Lord, I thank you that you gave us this family to walk through it together, to encourage each other, to build each other up. But to each one of us, be diligent in our seeking you, and we will enter that place of rest, resting in you, resting in knowing who you are. Oh, what a place to be. What a place to be, Lord. And I thank you that you have it for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you are dismissed to go be diligent in the Word. Okay.